Hello, and welcome to A History of Japan. Season 7, Episode 8, Pax Kamakura. When he took the reins of power as Shikken, 18-year-old Hojo Tsunetoki had a lot to prove. He had no impressive record of public service nor any battlefield experience. All he had was pedigree, which counted for a lot, but it would not be enough to restrain certain ambitious persons from taking advantage. The court had already begun issuing occasional imperial edicts without Kamakura's approval, some of which overstepped the boundaries which the shogunate had put in place. This was the work of Kujo Michiye, who was still bitter over the Bakufu's interference in the succession of the Tenno. While the initial connection between the Kujo Fujiwara clan and the shogunate had produced cooperation and something approaching unity of purpose between the two courts, it was starting to become more trouble than it was worth. The shogun himself was now 16, only a little younger than his regent, and had started befriending certain disgruntled samurai and disaffected kuge. Worse yet, some of these disgruntled samurai were leaders within the Bakufu. Some were doubtful that young Hojo Tsunetoki was qualified to steer the ship of state as regent, and that perhaps Kujo Yoritsune should be invested with real power the same way that Yoritomo was. Then there was the problem of the Miura clan. The Miura had been a critical pillar of support for the Hojo in Kanto, but in Yasutoki's later years as regent, they had become dissatisfied with the status quo. They did not trust the Hojo clan's monopoly on power, and feared that the regency was evolving into a dictatorship. Hojo Tsunetoki and his allies within the Bakufu knew that they had to take control. The Azuma Kagami, however, attributes the entire affair to a mysterious astronomical phenomenon over the skies of Kamakura in 1244, which was interpreted as a malicious portent against the sitting shogun. Such things were still taken extremely seriously, and fear over potential famines, unrest, or plagues gave Tsunetoki exactly the pretense he needed. Hojo Tsunetoki took quick action to see that the removal was done swiftly and without giving potential Yoritsune partisans time to organize any resistance, political or otherwise. On May 29, 1244, a messenger was sent to the capital to obtain the imperial edict ordering Kujo Yoritsune's dismissal and the elevation of his son Yoritsugu as the new shogun. This messenger returned to Kamakura with the order on June 6th, an impressive 9-day turnaround. The fact that the new shogun was only 4 years old certainly adds credence to the idea that the Bakufu preferred that a younger shogun occupy the puppet throne because they could be more easily controlled and influenced. Shogun Yoritsugu was quickly betrothed to one of Tsunetoki's younger sisters, and his father Yoritsune took vows as a monk, but remained in Kamakura. Unfortunately for the Bakufu's leadership, their strong-handed action did not come without consequences. The disgruntled members of the shogunate frequently visited the retired shogun and were clearly unhappy that Tsunetoki and his allies had acted so rashly. In 1246, at the age of 22, Hojo Tsunetoki became extremely ill and retired from the regency, naming his 19-year-old younger brother Tokiyori as his successor. He died soon after, and once more the regent was a young, untried samurai whose only qualifications were his family history. The opponents of the Hojo regency were emboldened by this rapid turnover, and many began to lay plans to take full advantage of what seemed like a moment of vulnerability. Hojo Tokiyori quickly dispatched orders to the Rokuhara Tandai to keep a strict watch and be ready for any potential emergencies. The trouble, however, began much closer to home. Samurai supporters of ousted shogun Yoritsune went about the streets of Kamakura in groups and picked fights with the supporters of Tokiyori. The scrapping evolved into larger and larger brawls, which led to Tokiyori supplementing the usual city guards with bands of loyal Bakufu warriors who were ordered to suppress Yoritsune's followers and their raucous activities. Quite by accident, these guards discovered a plot to assassinate Tokiyori and empower the retired shogun. The subsequent investigation revealed that one of the conspirators was Hojo Mitsutoki, Tokiyori's own uncle. The Shikken and his adherents moved swiftly to expose the conspiracy. He filled the streets with loyal armored samurai, blocked all communications from leaving the city, and proceeded with the investigation. Most of the conspirators realized it was a matter of time before they were caught, and so gave themselves up in hopes of avoiding the death penalty. Tokiyori's uncle Mitsutoki shaved his head before appearing before the regent to confess his guilt. He took vows as a monk, as did many of the others, which included some powerful members of the Hyōjō-shu. The former shogun, Kujō Yoritsune, was placed in custody and sent to Heian-kyō to live as a guest in the Rokuhara Palace, where he could be watched. This was done in a celebratory manner, as though the Shikken merely wished to honor the former shogun and safeguard his person. Many of his co-conspirators joined him in house arrest, though many were simply stripped of office and had their lands confiscated. Around this time, Tokiyori also became convinced that the Kujō family had grown far too powerful, and it was time to knock them down a peg. Kujō Michiye had been taking liberties with his high offices in the Daijō Daikan under the guise of acting as the shogun's father. After Yoritsune was removed from Kamakura for good, Tokiyori found many kuge eager to shut Michiye down permanently. Years of acting with impunity had earned the shogun's father plenty of envious enemies. Hojo Tokiyori found an especially motivated ally in the person of Emperor Go Saga. Early in 1246, this emperor retired and took charge of the Insei. His three-year-old son, Prince Hisahito, took the throne and is remembered as Go Fukasaka. Go Saga In was among those who believed that Kujō Michiye's power had gone to his head and was only too happy to have him removed from his court appointments. Michiye had been serving in a liaison position between the court and the shogunate, a post called Kanto Moshitsugi, or Kanto Mouthpiece. The Sionji family would have a monopoly on the post from now on, which suited the Bakufu because the Sionji were loyal supporters of the shogunate and the shogun's regent. Hojo Tokiyori thanked the cloistered emperor for his help in disposing of Kujō Michiye by discharging some of the Insei's debts and gifting him the incomes from several large estates. Go Saga In was grateful for this patronage, and in return, he reformed the Insei to better align with the administration in Kamakura. The shogun's regent and the retired emperor engaged in a level of mutual respect and cooperation rarely seen in the history of Japan. With these potential threats neutralized, Tokiyori could look to other imminent dangers. The Miura clan made no secret of its disappointment with the Hojo clan. The friendly relations which the two samurai families previously enjoyed was now a thing of the past. The Miura, after all, had likewise been a critical early supporter of Yoritomo and had shown great loyalty during the Jōkyū War when a member of their family, Taneyoshi, had tried to convince them to side with Go Toba In. In terms of their prestige, holdings, and direct vassals, the two were on roughly equal footing. More frustratingly for Tokiyori, the Miura clan had not technically done anything worthy of reprisal. For a while, there was nothing for the regent to do but wait for the Miura to slip up. To his frustration, Miura Yasamura continued attending meetings of the Hyōjō-shu as though nothing was wrong. Yasumura's younger brother, Mitsumura, however, was not so patient. He had been close to ex-shogun Yoritsune and was outraged at his removal from Kamakura. he urged his brother to lead an attack on the Hojo clan, but Yasumura refused. Everything changed, however, when Adachi Kagemori came out of retirement. An old former samurai who had been living as a monk at the Shingon Mount Koya Monastery under the name Kakuchi, Adachi Kagemori also happened to be Tokiyori's grandfather on his mother's side. He was lured to Kamakura by rumors of potential trouble on the horizon and urged Tokiyori to find a means to crush the Miura. Mitsumura, meanwhile, appears to have been gathering weapons and warriors to the Miura headquarters in preparation for battle. When Tokiyori confronted Yasumura about this, the Miura chief protested that he had no plans to fight against the Hojo. At this point, it seems that Tokiyori agreed with Adachi Kagemori about what had to be done. With the regent's assent, Kagemori ordered his son, who was now leading the Adachi clan, to attack and utterly destroy the Miura clan. The Adachi moved swiftly, and their efforts were successful. The surviving Miura samurai held out in the Hokkaido Monastery, but eventually committed seppuku. Included among the war dead was none other than Mori Suemitsu, the fourth son of the late Oe Hiromoto, who had founded the Mori clan. He had sided with the Miura, but he appears to have been one of the only members of the Mori family who got involved. Most of his family in Kanto fled in fear of Hojo clan reprisals. Suemitsu's fourth son, Tsunemitsu, was stationed in Echigo province in northeastern Chubu and would ensure the survival of the Mori clan far beyond the Kamakura period. While it was not unusual for the beginning of a regency to have a few bumps in the road, Hojo Tokiyori's was bumpier than most recent successions. Tokiyori would be remembered for far more than the destruction of the Miura and the relocation of ex-shogun Yoritsune. A rough start would end up paving the way toward much-needed reforms, which would earn him the admiration of samurai and commoners alike. The Hyōjō-shō, a high court created by Hojo Yasutoki back in 1225 to resolve vassal disputes, was becoming bogged down with backlogged cases. In 1249, Tokiyori and his Hyōjō-shū created the Hikitsuke, a body of jurists tasked with determining the facts of various cases and rendering a verdict. The Hyōjō-shō court would then apply the law and determine sentencing if necessary. This sped up trials considerably while ensuring a level of fairness which generally satisfied the vassals. In 1251, a plot against the Bakufu was uncovered and the conspirators arrested. During their interrogation, they allegedly confessed that the true mastermind behind this plot was none other than retired shogun Yoritsune. The imperial court condemned the Kujō family, as it was believed that its chief, Kujō Michie, must have been involved. The Bakufu now had the pretense it needed to remove the current shogun, Kujō Yoritsugu, who was then 13 years old. They arranged for his dismissal in early 1252. Obviously, the next shogun could not be a member of the Kujō family, so Hojo Tokiyori proposed the court try something which it had previously rejected out of hand: allow the Bakufu to install a member of the imperial family as shogun. Relations between Tokiyori and Go Toba In were quite warm, and the cloistered emperor enthusiastically agreed. Hojo Tokiyori had managed to outdo Hojo Masako. No easy feat. The new shogun would be a 9-year-old son of Go Saga In named Prince Munetaka. While this was an impressive feat, it was not without its detractors both from the imperial court and from elements within the Bakufu itself. The concerns from both parties were somewhat identical. Skeptics in the court worried that this would eventually lead to Kamakura absorbing Heian-kyo, and cynics in the Bakufu worried that this move would cause the court to eventually absorb Kamakura. These concerns were not mere abstractions, but arguably stemmed from changes which were already occurring. Stationing more samurai in Heian-kyo via the Rokuhara Tandai meant that more of them were coming into contact with the customs and splendor of the nobility. By the mid-1200s, there were already signs that the active Spartan lifestyle of the Heian period Kanto samurai was seen by the younger samurai as rustic and uninteresting. Tokiori tried to set an example by living simply and engaging in traditional warrior activities, but when he tried at a party to arrange archery contests and wrestling competitions among the young samurai, many of them either slipped away or declined to participate. Heian-kyo was undergoing changes of its own. The old decorative city walls no longer marked the border of the city, which was expanding and growing. While the national agrarian economy still suffered the occasional famine or poor harvest, the trade economy was flourishing, and the old capital was becoming a market hub. We will explore developments in China in the 1200s in a few episodes, but for now it is sufficient to know that the Song dynasty had continued trading with Japan throughout the 1200s, and that this lucrative exchange benefited both nations. While many of the old Taira-dominated systems were dismantled after the Genpei War, Kiyomori's overtures to Song China and the subsequent trade boom was left largely untouched. In western Japan especially, the great trading ships from China would make regular trips bringing silks, perfumes, sandalwood, incense, porcelain, and copper, and returning to the mainland with gold, fans, fresh-cut timber, lacquerware, mercury, and especially swords. The Japanese tachi swords were highly valued among Chinese nobility for both their craftsmanship and style. Such robust trade transformed Japan into a true capital economy. While coins had previously been thrust upon the population by the Nara period government centuries before, they had up until now been used primarily among the nobility. Now they began to replace the former system of bartering thanks to creditors who circulated the coins to simplify the act of trade. The ubiquitous availability of loans, however, also made assuming debt much easier, especially for samurai who were eager to adopt Heian-kyo's expensive tastes in fashion and interior decorating. 1252 also marks the year that Tokiyori's governance takes a bit of a turn. Where Yasutoki had invited cooperative, important samurai leaders, Tokiyori felt more comfortable going it alone. With his enemies, the Kujō clan and the Miura clan, neutralized, he began to issue edicts of his own accord and without consulting the Hyōjō-shu. This may have become a problem had he not been so skilled at one-man executive administration. Tokiyori followed his father Yasutoki's tradition of involving the Bakufu in humanitarian efforts and meeting the needs of the common people. He arranged for taxes to be halved or canceled when disaster struck, ordered the distribution of rice in places where there was famine, and arguably had more success than his father in finding actual solutions to these civic problems. He was so attentive to the plight of the peasantry that people believed he sometimes disguised himself as a commoner and traveled among the people to get a better idea of their needs. While this is almost certainly fictional, it speaks to the larger perception that Tokiyori was a competent, benevolent leader. Also deserving special mention is Hojo Shigetoki, Tokiyori's great-uncle, who had served as the Kitakata of the Rokuhara Tandai since 1230, but in 1247 was summoned to Kamakura to accept a new post. This post was called Rensho, and it was basically an assistant to the Shiken, the shogun's regent. Tokiyori valued his great-uncle's advice and relied on him implicitly in all matters. In 1256, having developed some chronic illness, Tokiyori retired as Shiken, passing the job along to Shigetoki's son, which my wife assures me is Tokiyori's first cousin once removed. Hojo Nagatoki was 26 at the time and had been serving as Kitakata of the Rokuhara Tandai since his father had become Tokiyori's Rensho. Although Nagatoki was technically the Shiken and Tokiyori had taken religious vows upon his retirement, the former regent was not quite finished wielding power just yet. While Nagatoki attended to the Hyōjō-shu, Tokiyori continued to govern the nation from behind the scenes. He became a sort of cloister regent. Unfortunately, the Kantō suffered a string of disasters in the latter 1250s, including earthquakes, massive storms and floods, which caused food shortages, then outbreaks of disease. The Bakufu was overwhelmed with the work that needed to be done, but pressed on nonetheless. In 1263, however, Hōjō Tokiyori died, and shortly afterward, the sitting regent Hōjō Nagatoki retired from his post in 1264. Taking the reins of state was a man whose name you might recognize, Hōjō Masamura. We discussed him very briefly in the previous episode. He was the son of Igakata, who had plotted to place him in the regency instead of Hōjō Yasutoki. His moment had arrived at last. For his Renshō, or regent's assistant, he chose Hōjō Tokimune, the 12-year-old son of Tokiyori. It is a testament to Tokiyori's leadership that the head of the Bakufu would appoint his young son to such an important post, no doubt hoping to absorb some of Tokiyori's clout. Though his time as regent would be short, Hōjō Masamura's reign would be significant. There were suspicions that the 24-year-old shogun, Prince Munetaka, was plotting to overthrow the regent and the Hyōjō-shu in a coup. The evidence for this supposed conspiracy theory is usually described by historians as thin. And once more, I think the safer explanation is that the shogun was old enough to form his own opinions, and perhaps thought that he ought to play a more active role in governance. The Bakufu couldn't have that. Hōjō Masamura arranged for the shogun to be deposed in 1266, and sent back to Heian-kyō. Surprisingly, Gotoba-in agreed to add his Insei stamp to this whole affair regardless of the fact that Prince Munetaka was his own son. In The History of Japan to 1334, George Sansom notes that the prince was held in the Rokuhara mansion under house arrest for only a short time, and then upon his release he was gifted some very valuable estates to ensure a very comfortable income. It is almost as though the shogunate felt a little guilty. Replacing Prince Munetaka on the shogunal throne was his 2-year-old son, Prince Koreyasu. 2 years later, Hōjō Masamura retired from the post of Shikken, but took up the post of Renshō. Hōjō Tokimune, the son of Tokiyori, was now 16 years old and ready to step into his father's shoes as Shikken. The challenges that already lay ahead for Tokimune were numerous. In addition to securing his power and getting the nobility, Bakufu, and commoners to fall in line, disturbing reports began to emerge from China. It seemed there had been a change of management. The new rulers of China confirmed these accounts when they sent envoys to Japan with demands for submission and tribute. We will discuss Hōjō Tokimune's response several episodes from now. Next time, we will explore the new forms of Buddhism which came to prominence during the Kamakura period and see how Heian-kyō and Kamakura reacted to these innovative new schools. Until then, thank you for listening. If you would like access to exclusive bonus episodes, as well as ad-free versions of the regular episodes, please consider supporting this podcast at patreon.com/ahistoryofjapan.